You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Kansas City's quad split last night. Look at it here on the next gen. I'm not even sure what it's supposed to accomplish, but I love seeing it. A league take notice win, and Lamar's kryptonite, and the Lightning win the Stanley Cup, all with this panel. Clinton, Israel, Pablo, Jackson, let's go. Hey. The game and the cup. In a second, news of the day from the NFL. 8 positive tests for COVID with the Tennessee Titans. 3 players, 5 staff. Titans shutting down facilities for the rest of the week. Their opponent this past Sunday, the Vikings, also closing facility per protocol. All Vikings tested negative. They are now doing additional tests before they reopen. One other piece of information of importance here. This weekend, the Titans linebackers coach tested positive for COVID. They separated him from the team after the test. Had no other positives before the game when they tested the team in advance of the game. But as we all know, they played Minnesota Sunday. Clinton Yates, around the horn to you. What position are the Titans in? What position is the league in?
They're an extremely unfortunate one. And part of the problem with this is that you had a system in which everybody was not exactly operating in an honor scenario, but you realize that once one thing happens with one team, you kind of don't really know how it's going with another. And so in this case, I'm kind of like, dang, the Titans had a coach that didn't go. We didn't know that. And then the Vikings were at risk. And then you think about how that may play out down the line and all the other teams they have to face. And you just think, man, this was the problem with this whole situation. You knew that there were going to be certain sacrifices you had to make just in terms of anything operating well. And in this case, the competition is what's going to end up getting caught up if they can't play a game. It's not going to get any better before it gets worse. And I feel bad for the Tennessee community. They were going to have people in the stands this weekend. That's obviously long gone.
This weekend's game, Titans-Steelers on Sunday. Israel Gutierrez, your view of it all?
I mean, the NFL is literally not immune to this. And we saw it happen in the Major League Baseball, and we saw mostly the Marlins and the Cardinals. And it seemed like it was going to put the season to its stop. It seemed like it was just the beginning of more of that until it wasn't. And so, the NFL has its protocols, and perhaps there is a situation where they can replay these games down the road, and they're clearly looking into that. But if it does indeed cost both of these teams just one game, sitting out one game, and there are no reports of any other teams, you just kind of power through and say, all right, we'll find a way for these two teams to make up that game. But until there's a true outbreak, we don't really have that much to be concerned about.
Even if there's a competitive disadvantage, I'll bring Pablo Torre in here. The league powers through?
Yeah, I think there is an issue here, Tony, and it's a big one because the NFL likes to hold itself as exceptional. It's not like the other sports. It's not like baseball, which reformed and kind of distorted its whole season to get it done. It's not like college football where we get surges seemingly every other day because the NFL wants to keep the integrity of its competition, its season, just like it ever was. Like, it's not one of the weirdest, strangest pandemic-ridden seasons we've seen before. And this is the reminder, right? You can have all the money and all the technology in the world, but it all hinges on human behavior. You could test as much as you want, but if people are not diligent, let this be the latest reminder. It's not quite safe yet. And if you slip, the outcome and the cost can be the season and the integrity of it that you say you want.
Titans facility closed through the rest of the week. That really puts Sunday's game versus Pittsburgh in the balance, don't you think, Jackie?
Well, sure, it puts the game in the balance. But let's think about this, Tony. What if they decide, guess what, guys? Now you can play. You're the Tennessee Titans. Your facility's been closed all week. Don't you think that's an advantage for the Pittsburgh Steelers? Sure. The Tennessee Titans are an undefeated football team right now. And yet, you should take every precaution necessary to make sure you're not spreading this disease to another football team. If you're the Vikings, you're sitting at home saying, what did we do? And by the way, sometimes, Pablo, It isn't a slip-up for people to get COVID. Sometimes they're in the grocery store and they're standing next to the wrong person. So it's not like you point fingers at the person that ends up getting COVID, because who knows how they got it. I think we should always stress that.
Sure.
It's not, you're not the bad guy if you get COVID. Sometimes it just happens because you're in the wrong place at the wrong time. So I don't see how you can play a game Sunday and have it be a level playing field. That seems to me to be out the window right now here on Monday.
Is Rui Gutierrez something you want to add?
Yeah, to Pablo's point about the integrity of the NFL, they are not above this. If this turns out to be a sort of league-wide issue and they have to take a short break, or if they have to do maybe a 14-game season or push back the playoffs or something like that, oh well. The rest of these leagues have done so much more just to get their seasons completed. So the NFL can't just think, hey, we have to have our 16 games regardless of what happens with this. It has to be, you know, thought. Everything has to be thought of as a possibility.
The early week games of the schedule, they had matched up bye weeks between teams just in case there was a postponement. We're past that already. Yeah. Pittsburgh and Tennessee have different bye weeks, which adds a complication as we move on through this. But that's not the consideration. It's the health of the team right now and the players. We're going to move on. Last night's game, it appears KC's game plan was, let's go have fun. And it looks so easy when they do it, when Mahomes does it. But of course, if it was easy, everybody would do it. Nobody can do it like he does it. Defensively, they dared Lamar Jackson and Baltimore to pass. And the result was Jackson didn't even get to 100 yards. What a complete and total implosion for Baltimore. Couldn't even complete slants against the prevent at the end of the half. Pablo, here's another story. I want to know what you know. Was it Mahomes and KC's game plan or Jackson and Baltimore's rotten egg?
It has to be about Pat Mahomes, Tony, because he is doing stuff on that field that you cannot do in video games. That is not an exaggeration. They changed Madden so that you cannot backpedal like 12 steps and then chuck the ball with a flick of your wrist 50 yards through the air. But he does this. And so, yes, we can find ways to blame Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. But the issue is that Pat Mahomes and his 5 touchdowns and 400 yards of total offense, he does this against everybody. There are 2 types of games. One where Pat Mahomes blows you out, and one where Pat Mahomes thinks he got a shot and then blows you out in the fourth quarter. This seemed like a little bit of column A and a little bit of column B.
Israel Gutierrez?
I'm questioning whether Pablo watched the game yesterday because it's Patrick Mahomes. Yeah. His mother tweeted.
That's a great call out. Oh, my goodness.
3 times, Pablo. And back to the game, however. Yes, it is frustrating. It is disappointing that the Baltimore Ravens, knowing what teams, good teams, are going to be able to do to you is make Lamar Jackson throw the ball, that they didn't have an answer for any of that. That entire offense looked congested. Everybody was up close, obviously, and Lamar didn't really respond. Now, if Mark Andrews catches that ball in the end zone, who knows, maybe it's a little different. But man, Patrick Mahomes just looked like he was relaxed out there. It didn't matter that it was the Baltimore Ravens, who people would say is maybe the best team coming into this week. He's just messing around. He got blitzed 21 times. He was 17 for 21 against the blitz. You can't do anything against this guy. He will find ways to beat you, and yesterday was a great example.
Incredible stat work there from Israel Gutierrez with the blitz. Clinton Yates, how about you?
The last couple seasons, every time the Chiefs have come up and people have talked about their offense, I've mentioned one person. That would be Eric Bieniemy, and him and Mahomes are in sync in a way now that is just a delight to watch. Andy Reid said himself, this guy's not going to be here long because, as you mentioned in the open, Tony, it's not just the normal standard stuff. Obviously, Mahomes is an incredible athlete, and what he can put, the positions he can put him in are just, it's fun to watch. A guy comes up as a running backs coach. He's not the normal sort of look on an offensive set. It shows on the field, and the way that Patrick's, you know, still translate. It's just fantastic.
Got to listen to
it. It's okay.
Mom.
I know his dad.
Yeah, okay. Did you hear Ryan Clark, by the way, break it down on SVP last night, talking about how they played against the tendencies of Marcus Peters last night and how he likes to cheat a little bit and how he plays defense with his eyes, and that's going to get you in trouble when you're going against Mahomes and Bieniemy and Andy Reid. Jackie Mack, was this about what Mahomes and KC's game plan was and all those quad splits and the shovel pass to the fullback, or was it about Baltimore?
Well, it's a little bit about Baltimore just because, remember, they hadn't lost a regular season game since September 29th, 2019. That's almost a whole year. So I think everybody had a right to expect this game to be closer and a little more intriguing. I'm not prepared to give up on Lamar Jackson, but when you throw for less total yards than Mitchell Trubisky, who lost his job this week, that's a bad outing for you. And so, but when I watch Mahomes, it's the same thing. Pablo, you keyed on the same play that I would have. That throw to Tyreek Hill in the end zone. An absolutely perfect pass. He's feigning back. He's off the wrong foot. All the purists, every purist quarterback would say, what is that kid doing? It's absolutely wrong. No, it isn't. It's absolutely right, and it's the future of the NFL. These two quarterbacks are the future of the NFL, and I think it's really exciting.
Let's go deeper on Lamar Jackson.
By the way, I call my son Douglas and no one else does, so give up on the pack.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Going deeper on Lamar Jackson, because he said after the game, KC is their kryptonite. He's 0-3 in his career versus Mahomes. Not that he plays against Mahomes. He plays against the Chiefs defense. But to compare it with the playoff loss to Tennessee, which was a huge letdown for Baltimore, their last letdown, Jackson had 500 yards of offense in that game, turned the ball over a bit, but had 500 yards of offense. This one, he didn't have anywhere near that. Nothing worked after the first drive. Pablo, has Baltimore and Lamar Jackson hit a wall?
Well, they hit the same wall that everyone hits. The Chiefs are just that good. I actually see an opportunity, Tony, to buy some Lamar Jackson stock, though, based on how everyone talks about the Ravens, because the criticism has been when he's down at the half, he is 0-6, right? That's a problem. They have a really tough time coming back in games because they are so run heavy. But the other side of the coin is that they're 20-0 when he has the lead going into the half. So is there a wall? Yeah, sometimes, occasionally, but more often than not, they are demolishing that, bulldozing that wall as well as anybody. So, yeah, I would like to keep owning some Lamar Jackson if that's still possible.
That's very much a silver lining to a game, again, that he had last night, Pablo. Israel Gutierrez, when you see the struggles in the postseason it had, and then last night, what type of wall do you see Baltimore hitting?
Well, I see they're building a wall between Lamar and John Harbaugh when he's essentially saying his coach didn't do anything different after losing in the playoffs last year and said, hey, we're going to see this a lot. What are we going to do? They didn't have an answer yesterday. To me, I think they're asking a lot of Lamar. I don't think Lamar has the weapons necessarily that even Patrick Mahomes has, obviously. When they sit there on the broadcast and they talk about how Mark Andrews is his most potent weapon and the most dangerous, he's all right. But he is no, you know, he's no superstar wide receiver, and so they need to get him some help if they want to throw
the ball. Everything we heard this offseason from Baltimore was that Lamar Jackson was looking better. It wasn't a 180 because he was already the MVP of the league, but he was improving, and then to see last night.
He had a bad game, you know, and he admitted as such. I was kind of surprised to hear him basically say he'd lost the psychological battle entirely. But for a guy like Lamar Jackson, I think that there's some value in admitting that and saying out loud, hey, I need a little bit more here. Hollywood's not going to get it done all on his own when you come up against a team like the Chiefs that's got way more weapons. And I think that matchup specifically exposed the Ravens' problems. You can beat a lot of teams with Lamar plus. You can't beat the Chiefs, and that's why they got the trophy on the wall right there, because it just doesn't work against a squad that's that prepared.
Yeah, it's just not time to bail on the Ravens or Lamar Jackson. He's 24 years old. He was an MVP a year ago. He played against the best team in the NFL. I mean, I suppose Seattle might have a say over that, and I would be welcome to answer those questions. Those are two of the best teams right now. But Lamar Jackson's still learning. And you know, he's learning on the job, unlike all these other quarterbacks from the past who got to sit behind a Hall of Famers for 2 or 3 years.
Mm-hmm. I think you gave him an extra year. He's 23 years old, Jackson.
Oh, okay.
Gutierrez, 28.
I thought he had a birthday.
Mullen, 13. Yates, 11. Torrey, 4. We're back in buy or sell with the Stanley Cup. They skated around the rink in an empty rink, and it was still great. The Tampa Bay Lightning in 2 minutes.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
How the Tampa Bay Lightning did it after the complete and utter failure of last year, after everything this season was, and how they did it in an empty rink. At first, I was like, oh, this is so tough to see. They're skating around an empty rink. But then you heard the natural sound, and I kind of loved it. Clinton Yates, how did Tampa pull it off to lift Stanley?
I thought Vasilevskiy was great throughout the bubble the whole time, including the shutout that obviously won the whole thing. But I feel bad for the Bolts, man. You finally win one. You could have won three in the last 10 years, according to a lot of other people, and it's in this oddball setup.
Wait, you feel bad for the team that finally broke through and got a win? No. We'll go to Israel Gutierrez. I understand what you're saying.
Yeah, the story of this team is they were not the team that could break through, and now here they did. A few years from now, they're not going to look back and say, hey, that was still the team that couldn't break through. They did it. They did it in a scenario where they called the common area, by the way, the prison yard over there. Nobody wanted to be there. They hated it, and they won anyway.
Obligatory.
Yeah, I got to give credit to their coach, John Cooper. I've never felt a spiritual connection this strong with a hockey coach. Number one, Tony. He was 32 years old and a public defender. He was a lawyer, and then he started coaching hockey. Number two, he was wearing a UVA cap because what happened last year? He got swept as the number one seed and then came back and won it all this year. So he spoke to me in all sorts of ways. Congratulations to him.
Good stuff. Pablo and Jackie, how about you?
You know, it's funny you mentioned John Cooper, Pablo. He also spoke to me. Do you know what his answer was when they asked him about this? He said, I truly believe the heartbreak we experienced is what brought us here today. And I think there's great truth in that. And I wonder if Steve Ballmer is listening about Doc Rivers, because I think I would throw it his way. I will say this too. What about a team that has Steven Stamkos, who only plays 2 minutes and 37 seconds of this Stanley Cup and scores a goal? And he's the captain, and they gave him the cup first. This is an awesome.
That was incredible. So and I, on this television show, when we were going around the home, said it was a Willis Reed moment, and then Kirk Gibson's name came up as well. I think Bomani Jones said it, and Bill Plaschke pshawed that. That moment when he came off, scored in his one
incredible
shift and went back the other way. It's a huge moment in this series. It's an all-time legend status moment. Congrats to the Lightning and the Stanley Cup. We move on. There was a little segue there from Jackie Mack. Let's talk about the Clippers now. This may be the most intriguing question of the NBA offseason. Steve Ballmer money and the roster of Kawhi and George. A collapse has its consequences, and Doc Rivers is out, Jackie. Does that surprise you, and what do the Clippers do from here?
It did surprise me because I thought if they were going to do it, they would do it right away, and I'm not sure why they waited these few days. I think there's a good chance they go internally, Tony, and bring Ty Lue in as the head coach. He's been talked about many other places. I think that's a real possibility.
Pablo Torre?
Yeah, I'm not surprised because he is the only coach to blow multiple 3-1 leads. The timing problem, almost said
no,
that.
I think you did. That's a bad word. We'll get back to you, Pablo Torre. Israel Gutierrez.
It seemed to me like they looked at the situation and said, well, our players aren't going to change. Something has to change here. And then ended up being Doc. And they called it a mutual separation here. So I'm guessing Doc probably just said, you know what? It's not my fault, but I'll go ahead and take this out.
Clinton Yates.
Yeah, nothing smells bad about this. It was a function of timing as much as anything. I realize it's awkward after the bubble, but it means, you know, you want to take some time to decide. Doc's been there for a long time in a lot of different positions. It's not an immediate thing because, you know, he's been around for a while.
All right, Pablo Torre, you took your penalty. Now come back out and give us an answer.
I would just advise Doc Rivers, come and do this job. Come join the media. We love you. You're an amazing dude. You'll be great at this, and it's also a lot easier than coaching in the NBA. So I think if that job is the one...
Is it easier
really
right now? You're
yeah,
losing points right now. It's not that easy for you, Pablo. Jackie, well, what do you think makes sense for... What do you think Doc thinks harder about? The Philly job's open, the New Orleans job's open, the Houston's job's open, or TV?
Well, they're all good options, but if I were Doc, and if you're listening, Doc, you know what I would do? I'd sit on your beautiful deck on Malibu. I'd look at the ocean and say, you know what? I'm going to take a year off because a year from now, I'll be even more sought after than I was the year before, and who knows what job will be open.
Israel?
I hope he does that.
I would take the year off as well, but if I had to choose, I'd take Philadelphia. It's more of sort of an old school approach with Embiid in the middle, and it's more of a win now type of team when everybody's healthy, so yeah.
He takes the year off. He might find himself somewhere where Jackie's been plenty times, in a place that he was before. I wouldn't mind seeing that. Just saying.
I got an answer from Jackie, Tyronn Lue for the Clippers. I don't know if anyone else nominated the next coach of the Clippers in this job with Kawhi and Paul George. Pablo, did you have anybody in mind?
Let's just say that if Kawhi Leonard wants Ty Lue, I think it's going to be
Israel.
I think it's going to be Ty Lue. Sam Cassell's an intriguing name. I also heard Phil Jackson floated around somewhere, but that's not real.
That one was out of nowhere. I mean, how could he? Hey, Clinton Yates, how about you?
Cassell's the guy I would like to see get that job. He was an assistant back in D.C. for a while. Good dude, man. I think he deserves a
That'll be the last word from Clinton Yates. Pablo Torre, come to TV. This job's so easy. Not for you, friend. Gutierrez, McMullen, showdown next.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Israel Gutierrez, Jackie McMullen, welcome to Showdown. Good luck. Yankees-Cleveland, Cole versus Bieber. This is interesting. Game one of a three-game series. You go ace versus ace, or do you try to hold back your ace so you have an advantage in the next game knowing you only have one shot with your ace? Israel, any thoughts on that? And who's got the edge going into the series?
Look, if I'm the Yankees, I know it's not traditional. You want to go ace versus ace, but I'm backing off. I'm sending Gerrit Cole to game two just because Bieber is dominant this season, and it's only a three-game series. You got to win the ones you know you can win.
Israel, you just made the argument against yourself. It's only a three-game series. Win the first game. Win what's run in front of you. And by the way, Zach Plesac is waiting in game two. He's got a 2.28 ERA. It's not like he's some slummer. I don't know what you were talking about, boy. This is crazy.
A slumber.
I'm not
familiar with that terminology, but I think I kind of like it. You pay $36 million to Gerrit Cole, and then you say, you know what? Don't pitch this game. We don't trust you in this game. Woo! Point, McMullen. Showdown two. This is an NBA Finals preview extravaganza. If you went through the top 10 players on the floor, how many are Lakers and how many are Heat? Think about that. Mull on that as you see Vegas has the Lakers heavy favorite to beat Miami. Heavy, Jackie Mack?
Well, I understand why it's heavy, because LeBron James, if you saw what he did in Game 5, if he plays like that, nobody's going to beat the Lakers. But your point is an excellent one. The Miami Heat aren't just sneaky good. They're good top to bottom. And I would take 7 of the 10 top players being Heat players.
After LeBron and AD, it's Jimmy Butler, Bam Adebayo, Tyler Hero, Goran Dragic. Probably throw Duncan Robinson in there for what he means to the team. And then maybe
Iggy.
Kyle Kuzma. The Lakers shouldn't be favored that
Iggy.
Way.
Iggy! Andre Iguodala, you buried the lead. Israel, you can't possibly.
Ooh, Jackie Mack. Oh, my goodness. This is
you can't.
30 seconds.
How do you
of
leave out Andre Iguodala?
To McMullen.
I feel like I'm under attack.
So there's nothing that good can happen to the tragic death of Kobe Bryant and all the members of the people that were on that helicopter crash, a terrible, terrible tragedy. But the governor of California has now made it a crime for first responders to take photographs of deceased victims at the scene of a crime or an accident. As you guys know, there were pictures circulating for those poor people. I can only imagine what that must have felt like for the victims' families. So I am so glad this law is in effect. I just can't believe it wasn't in effect already.
Yeah, Jackie, thank you for that time.
I'm
stunned to find out that it wasn't the law already. Thanks for your time today.
Crazy.
We're on a 23 and a half hour break. Actually, make it 47 and a half. We'll see you Thursday.
Done by Jackie Mack.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.